Let's go to the phone lines as we are now joined by Sam Kahn Jr. of ESPN.com to talk a little bit about the Arkansas-Texas A&M game coming up this weekend as well as the rest of the SEC. Good morning, Sam. How's it going, my man?
Great. How are you?
We're doing good, man. We're doing good. We're trying to find silver linings and positives to make out of the Arkansas Razorback football season to try to keep it as interesting as possible. And we knew that this was going to be a tough year for Chad Morris in his first season. We knew that it wasn't going to be an ideal situation with all the changes and transitions and lack of talent. But sitting at 1-3, I don't know if many people thought it would be this bad. What are your thoughts? What are your expectations that you had before the season started? Are they worse than what you thought, or is this about what you thought it would be?
You knew it was going to be a tough deal this year, but yeah, I didn't think it was going to be quite like this. I didn't expect them losing, you know, Colorado State and North Texas, and not necessarily to say anything bad about North Texas, because North Texas is a really good team. They're going to be one of the best group of five teams out there, but to lose by how much they did to North Texas was a little bit disconcerting if you're Arkansas. But I think you understood that it was going to be tough, because when you go from the style of play and the style of team that it was before to what it is under Chad Morris, personnel is just not there. You know, there are some guys who fit it, and there are some guys who make it work, but there's going to be a wholesale changes that they make from a recruiting standpoint. So it's going to take time. But, yeah, there's no doubt if you're an SEC team, an SEC West team, you don't expect to be losing a group of five teams by double digits.
Sam, what do you think of the rule, with the redshirt rule and the four games and maybe some of the unintended consequences of that rule that we're seeing with players that are not true freshmen utilizing this rule to transfer? Is there an issue with that rule that needs to be looked at again in the offseason as we're seeing juniors and seniors use that rule to their benefit to leave programs here in the first month of the season?
You know, I don't think it's a huge issue, because I don't think you're going to see a lot of guys doing it. Because chances are the guys who are going to do it are by and large going to be guys who aren't contributing much anyway. So it's not. I don't think they're going to be guys that the program terribly misses. And on the flip side, they're going to be guys that probably can, you know, trying to find an opportunity somewhere else and hope that it works out. The one that surprised me probably the most was Jalen McCluskey out of Oklahoma State, who is second on the team in catches. That one, you know, he had like four or five catches this last weekend. That's one you certainly don't expect a guy who's getting that much burn to do it. But I say that from a perspective that I am, you know, totally, you know, for players being able to kind of go where they want, because coaches kind of can go where they want when they want. So I don't see a huge problem in it. I think it's good that they're able to preserve a year of eligibility, but certainly I don't think when they passed this rule, I don't think the coaches anticipated it quite like this. But again, we're talking so far about a small handful of players so far that's done it.
Sam, just going back to Chad Morris, obviously you mentioned how it's going to be a struggle this year no matter what, but there's a lot of Razorback fans that are trying to figure out, okay, is this the guy? It's hard to tell just through four games for anybody, but when I haven't really got a chance to talk to you since Chad Morris was hired as the head coach. Do you think that he is the guy for the job? Do you think he can get it done at Arkansas? Do you think he can be successful considering all the disadvantages that Arkansas may have in the SEC West?
It's hard to say just because, you know, it is so difficult to succeed in that division. I will say this. He is a really good coach. He is a really good recruiter. And I think if you're going to win in this division and you're going to try to challenge the Alabamas, the LSUs, you have to do something a little bit different from what they do, which Chad will do. I mean, they certainly, you know, Alabama does go up-tempo and, you know, our Auburn does too. I think Arkansas probably looks more like Auburn than anybody else, but you're going to have to try to win a different way, which, you know, I think is what Chad is going to try to do. And you look at what he did at SMU. I mean, from the time he got there, the year before he got there, they were 1-11, and their offense was putrid. And by the time he left, they were one of the top offenses in the country, and they were a bowl team. And for SMU, a program that has been down in the dumps for a long, long time, for him to make that kind of progress was impressive. And the roster was in terrible shape when he got there. So we've seen him do it. Obviously not at this level. This is a different animal when you're in the SEC. But I do think what he's done in the past, what he did at Clemson as an offensive coordinator, he understands what it takes to succeed at a high level. So I think he's a good coach. I thought he was a good hire. I think it remains to be seen if he can get it done, but I do think, you know, patience is required, at least in the early going.
Last week, John Chavis's defense for Arkansas did a nice job against Auburn's rushing attack. This week, you're playing a very balanced A&M team for the Razorbacks with the Texas A&M Aggies. 545 yards in total offense a game is number one of the SEC. Very balanced, though, when you look at how they split that up between rushing and passing. About 300 yards of that is passing, 246 yards of rushing. How do you think John Chavis and his defense will do this week against the Aggies?
You know, it's going to be interesting because, you know, this is not the same A&M team that Chavis saw when he left. You know, when Chavis left, there was an up-tempo team that, you know, spread the ball around with four wide receivers all the time. This is a different team with tight end and, you know, I formation sometimes. So, you know, I think you have to take some encouragement from last week because they were able to slow down Auburn. They were able to frustrate. And the score to that game was quite misleading. And I think if you're able to get anything going offensively, I think you feel better. But, you know, first and foremost, it's going to come on creating pressure on Kellen Mond. I mean, that's the best way to beat this A&M team. And you've got to be able to slow down the run a little bit, you know, in the early going to get them thinking one-dimensional. But Mond is, you know, he's a sophomore, but he's done pretty well. He's been poised. He's been impressive against Clemson. He was impressive first three games of the season. Last week, you run against a little bit of a buzzsaw in Alabama. But ultimately, if you can attack them and attack that offensive line, which I still think is a tad unproven. They've certainly made some progress, but I still think, you know, there's some flaws there. I think if you can attack that and try to take advantage of that, you give yourself at least a little bit of a chance.
Speaking with Sam Kahn Jr. of ESPN.com right now on the Morning Rush. Sam, when Jimbo Fisher was hired at Texas A&M, I still keep the stance that I don't think he's going to be there for very long. I'm not saying he'll be fired, but I just feel like he may move on to a different and better job. People have criticized me for that. But what do you think about it? Do you think Jimbo's there for the long haul at Texas A&M? He's getting paid a lot of money to be there. But do you think that you could see him being there as long as he wants to be there and he'll stay there and be a lifer at Texas A&M if he needs to be?
I mean, I don't know about a lifer, but I do expect him to be there for a long time. He's fit in really well with, you know, the culture, the fan base, the whole nine. I mean, they love him, obviously. And he's going to get a honeymoon period because, you know, that he's a championship-winning coach and he's what they've been trying to get for a long time. Because they invested so much money in him, they're going to give him every opportunity to get this done. And they understand what it's going to take. The one thing that the reason I do think he is going to be there for a while is because you look at the level he's recruiting, and right now he's recruiting at a top five, top three level nationally in this current class. If he can sustain that, which is what he did at Florida State, then they'll start having a shot at winning something of significance in the SEC and contending for a playoff. Because that's ultimately what it comes down to. A&M's got everything else. They got the facilities. They got the money. They got the fan support. They've got the location and recruiting base. What they need and what they've lacked is elite, elite talent at the level that the Alabamas and LSUs have. So far, you know, 9 months into the job, he's recruiting at that level. He'll have to continue to do it. But I do think, yes, I do think he'll be around for quite some time, just for no other reason. I don't know where else he'd go. I guess if the Alabama job opened up and Saban retired, I guess that's a job that anybody can gun for. But aside from something like that, I don't see him going anywhere else.
Sam, you watch a lot of games in this league. Do you think there's anything to the theory or the idea that there's an Alabama hangover, meaning we saw Ole Miss struggle a little bit in a non-conference game with Kent State last week? We've seen a lot of teams struggle the week following playing Alabama. Texas A&M played them a week ago. You think A&M will have a little bit of a hangover, a little bit of a struggle early in this game this week because they did play Alabama a week ago? We've seen some evidence of that.
I mean, yeah, it's possible because, like I said, you look at the numbers historically over the last 6-7 years, and there seems to be something there. I don't think it's necessarily just physical, though. I think a lot of people focus on the physicality part and how physical it is to play Alabama, which it is. But I think it is a lot mental, too, because remember, when you play Alabama, you're playing the best team in college football. So mentally, as a player, you are hyper-focused because you want to be the team that takes this team down. So when you go to the other end of the spectrum and you're playing a team like Arkansas, who's, you know, last in the SEC West, it's a totally different animal. And so you know, 18 to 22-year-olds, it's human nature to not be as motivated against a team that's, you know, not as good as the team you just played. So I think a lot of that, too, has to do with scheduling. You know, if you're Ole Miss, you're not fired up to play Kent State. That's not, you didn't sign up at Ole Miss to go play them. You signed up at Ole Miss to go play Alabama and LSU. So I think there is something to that for sure. And yeah, there's definitely a possibility that they come out a little rough. You know, against Louisiana Monroe in week three, the week after Texas A&M played Clemson, they were a little rough in the first half. They got it going in the second half, and they put them away. But there was definitely, I don't want to say hangover, but there definitely were some rough edges to smooth out the week after they lost to Clemson.
Last one before we let you get out of here, Sam. You mentioned some things that could happen in this game between Arkansas and Texas A&M. Is there any reality, is there any way you see Arkansas maybe pulling an upset here? I don't know if we've seen enough from them to maybe call it out, but if they are going to do something like that, what is going to happen for the Razorbacks to pull that off?
A&M's going to have to turn the ball over quite a bit. I think Arkansas, like I said, the way they played defensively last week against Auburn has got to be encouraged. You know, they were able to frustrate Jarrett Stidham in that running game a little bit. So I think that's definitely, like I said, a sign of encouragement. They've got to get something going offensively, though, and I just don't see it right now. I think, you know, little mistakes that I saw last week, you know, like early on where, you know, swing passes to the running back, things like that, simple things that, you know, were just mistakes, the balls that you were dropped or inaccurate or what have you. Like, they've got to shore some of that stuff up, because otherwise you're not going to be able to score enough points to pull it off. I don't see it happening. I could see Arkansas keeping it interesting for a certain for a little while just because they've got to take some encouragement from the way they played last week. But, no, I think it's a tough ask to get them to win this game unless they're able to force a lot of turnovers.
Hey, if Arkansas keeps it competitive, I think a lot of Razorback fans would for sure take that. Sam Kahn Jr. of ESPN.com. Great stuff as always, Sam. Appreciate you making some time for us this morning, man. Looking forward to catching up with you later in the season.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me.